Christ alone will I glory, though I could pride myself in battles won. For I've been blessed beyond measure, and by His strength alone I overcome. Oh, I could stop and count successes like diamonds in my hand, but those trophies could not equal to the grace by which I stand in Christ alone.
Let's all stand together. Thank you, Karina. Let's all stand and take our Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. We'll read three verses here. We'll pray and we'll let you be seated. We're getting started a little bit earlier than we normally have the past couple months. Of course, we had a lot of things going on in the pre-service over the last couple months, getting ready for our building offering, and that was last week. And then right after the service, we're going to let you know how that went, to give you the numbers, and just thank you for your sacrificial giving and promise giving. Matthew chapter 11, let's look at verse number 28. Matthew chapter 11 and verse number 28. We'll just read these three verses, very well-known verses to us. Matthew 11, verse 28, it says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Let's pray one more time and we'll let you be seated. Again, Father, we can never thank you enough for all that you do in our lives. And Lord, we thank you now for your word. We thank you for the truths that it teaches us. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to ever be close to your word, Lord, to make it a part of our life and to help it to encourage and strengthen us and help us on our way. Bless us now as we look at the topic tonight. I pray that you would speak to our hearts, encourage and strengthen us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. We're going to talk tonight about how to avoid burnout. You ever hear that phrase? The phrase isn't used as much, but people like to use stressed out, burned out. How many ever heard that? Oh, man, bro, I'm just burned out. Okay, I can't go any further. And by the way, it happens everywhere you go. Usually someone tells you they're burned out right before they quit something. You notice that? By the way, it happens in all areas of life. If you want to be scared, you go to our college and want to be in the ministry, the average time that a youth director stays in a church, the average amount of time they're working in one church is 1.5 years. I work with teenagers before. I totally understand that one, all right? Anybody want to take a guess? What's the average time that a pastor stays at a church? How many would say 10 years? How many would say 10 years or more? How many of you would say 10 years or less? How many of you wouldn't raise your hand if I offered you $5? Okay, liar, right back there. Good. The average tenure of a pastor in our country is 3 years. Why? Because people are irritating. They get burned out. The average time I think that somebody who graduates from a Bible college, I think, spends in ministry, period. Whether it's pastoring here, or you add it all up together that they're in ministry, it's almost something like 5 years, six years. Okay? It happens in all areas of life. We get what we call burned out. You hear the phrase, it's better to burn out than it is to rust. How many of you heard that one? By the way, I don't think you have to do either. Okay? There's a balance there. You know, Brother Creel, I appreciate you sitting in the back row, but seriously, it's not that far outside. Okay? That was better. How many remember the week he was outside? Wasn't it better? Just kidding. Many great men of God have suffered from some of the effects that come. I believe it was either Moody. I don't think it was Moody. I think it was Spurgeon. Spurgeon had to take time off at times because of his emotional draining, and he went through depression. Okay? Men that have preached in this pulpit, I've heard their testimonies that they've went through things like that, and they've had to. Brother Fisher doesn't hide it. He went through a time like that in his ministry. I remember when Brother Wade was teaching, he came and taught to the staff one time, and he said that he decided to work at Brother Fisher's church, and he said he flew in there, and he's flying in there to be on staff at Brother Fisher's church. Brother Fisher picks him up at the airport, you know, and you think he's going to talk to him and say, man, it's going to be great having you on staff. And Brother Fisher told him, by the way, I'm going to be quitting the church. It's like, what? He was going through some emotional times, and he was able to get through it. It happens to everybody. What is burnout? A definition you would get from just a general definition. Burnout is a state of emotional, mental, and physical exhaustion caused by excessive and prolonged stress. You just feel like emotionally you can give no more. Mentally you can give no more. You're physically exhausted. It's not just because you've been, you know, working hard or whatever. You just feel, I guess the word we would use is you feel drained. And you feel like that all the time. It occurs when we feel overwhelmed and unable to meet constant demands. By the way, there's a lot of demands in our life. Living especially living in a town of this size, you can't even get on the freeway and drive home without stress. You get on the freeway and knuckleheads are cutting you off. I was coming to work one morning and I get on the freeway and this lady decides she wants to merge in my lane while I'm there. And I had to literally let her pass. I had to stop or she would have ran into me. And then I go around her and look at her, and guess what she's doing? I say, what'd you do? I said, hey, I only give you a track. I wanted to do? I didn't do it. I wanted to get in front of her and cut her off. But that wouldn't have been Christian. But we get burned. Everything about our life. You know, when we go on vacation, we go up to the in-laws' house in the farm. There's not a lot of stress there. Okay? I guess the biggest stress they have is a couple of times when we've been up there, the cows got out. Now, the cows aren't a big deal, but when the bull gets out, that's a big deal. Those things are mean. And, you know, my father-in-law gets on a motorcycle and chases. That's about all the stress they have up there. Okay? You know, how many kittens did the coyote eat this week? By the way, they don't have an animal control problem. They just let the cats breed all they want because population control are the coyotes that come up at night. They eat the kittens. That's evolution in progress right there. But stress. We live in a time and a place, if we're not careful, we feel overwhelmed. And as stress continues, we lose interest and we lose motivation. It saps us of our energy. It leaves us feeling helpless and hopeless in our situations. And then to a certain extent, we can even get cynical about what's going on and resentful. And then you feel like, you know what? I got nothing to give anymore. It happens all the time. If stress or burnout has you feeling disillusioned, helpless, completely worn out, you're feeling burnout. By the way, there are warning signs. It's a gradual process that comes in. Okay, we're going somewhere with this, and we're going to spiritualize it in a minute. Burnout is a gradual process. It occurs over an extended period of time. Doesn't happen overnight. But as the burdens of life come on, and then the things you do in the church add to it, and it just you start to feel weighted down, and you start to feel like, you know, what's the point? Or why are you just like, you have no energy to do anything, and sometimes that seeps into serving God. But when you see those warning signs, those are early symptoms that we need to deal with something. What are some of the signs that we're feeling burned out? Sense of failure or self-doubt? We just feel like what I'm doing doesn't matter. I can't get it right anyhow. By the way, you ever feel like that? You feel like that sometimes even serving the church, like, well, you know, you're serving and somebody that was doing right, something goes on in their life or someone does something ridiculous and you're like, well, what's the use anyhow? That's a sign that maybe you're burdened. We feel trapped and defeated. We feel alone. We lose our motivation. We become cynical. By the way, you can become cynical of people real easy. Real easy. You know how you know? When you see one of these people, especially over here when you get off on the freeway on Long Beach Boulevard and they're over there begging. Okay. Oh, they're just a bunch of drunks. Now, maybe they are. Okay. I don't know. But, you know, sometimes people are in genuine help. But we're so cynical that we're going to be ripped off because what has happened? We've been ripped off before. We've had so many people come by here and ask for money. You know, and they all have the same stories. A guy came into my office one time years ago when I had the office in the double house. And he gave me some story. I got a new job. I got to drive to Kansas City. He goes, I got everything I need. I got a car. Someone let me borrow a car. The gas tank's full. I don't have any money on me, but I got everything I need to get to Kansas City. I think he said he needed a few dollars to get a belt for his for the engine in his car. Now, I am cynical. Pray for me. I'm like, wait a minute. I go, you don't have any money. I kind of like to set people up sometimes when they lie to me. I said, so you don't have any money, right? No, I got everything. So you just have everything you need to eat. Yep, got food in the car. I got full gas tank. I said, you don't have enough gas to drive from here to Kansas City. How are you going to get more gas? He's like, well, you know, my friend gave me a card I can use for gas. I said, well, then I can help you. While you're at the gas station, just buy a fan belt. He didn't like that. He got really mad. So we get cynical of people in every area of our life. Oh, these people just don't really care about God. They just don't really. That's a sign that we're feeling burned out. We withdraw from our responsibilities because, after all, when we're feeling like this, what we're doing doesn't matter anyhow. And then when it gets down to its worst place, we start to take out our frustration on others. You know how it is. When maybe you had a rough day and you come home from work, or maybe you come home from work and you're hungry, and it's like, when's dinner going to be ready? And it's not the time they prescribed. Maybe you didn't eat lunch. How many of you know what I'm talking about? When you don't eat like that, it's rough. And it's like, somebody better put something on the table real soon or things aren't going to go very well. And then you nitpick and you're frustrated and you're getting on the kids. And now as soon as you eat, everything's different. Hi, honey. How are you? You look nice today. Children, by the way, by that time, they don't want to talk to you. You've already ripped their face and you've got all over for everything. But frustration. It happens in areas of our life. We feel burned out at work. It happens in our relationships if we're not working on them. In our marriage, we feel things are worthless or aren't going well. And instead of working on it, we gripe about it. In our parenting, in our relationship with our family and our friends. But what we want to talk to you about is spiritually it happens. People burn out spiritually. And by the way, you don't need to. If it happens, it's not something God wants. Jesus here gives us a wonderful invitation. An invitation that can keep us from burning out. We've mentioned it many times. Someone has said that you don't measure spirituality and Christianity in years. You measure it in decades. It's not a shooting star that someone that pops up and for 2 or 3 years they're just wonderful and they're going gung-ho for God and then you never see them again. I like the people that are slow and steady. They're there. They're serving God. They'll be there 2 years from now. They'll be there 3 years from now. They'll be here 5 years from now, and they'll be here 10 years from now. That's someone that's found the secret to sticking it out. And it's true. It's true in your marriage. It's true in everything. Think, Brother Hawking, 61 years next week, right? 61 years married. How many of you are less than 61 years old? Raise your hand. You're less than 61. But they've been married more years than we've been alive. Now, Carrillo, not you, but the rest of us. I would have never guessed that. God wants us to be fulfilled, enjoyed in our service to Him. I've met many Christians, they're not like that. Just by taking a look at them, I would say, whatever you have, I don't want it. By the way, it's okay to smile as a Christian. Your face will not break. And by the way, you'll probably look better. We think it's unspiritual to be happy. We think it's unspiritual to throw a smile down. God thinks differently. It's not misery. Let me give you a couple verses. Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 10, the end of the verse, says, "Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." I mean, serving God is joyful. By the way, you say, "Man, I've been serving God and I just don't have that joy." That's God's way of telling you, you are doing something wrong. Something is not right, because God doesn't want us to serve like that. He wants us to serve Him with joy. Do you know when you lose your joy, it saps your energy? You have no energy to do the things that you're supposed to do. And God, He says, look, serving God is joyful. That ought to be exciting. It ought to be something we love to do. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 2 says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous." You know, they like to portray Christians in the unsaved world: prudes, no fun, miserable, mean-spirited, never happy. Why? Because we're obeying God. We're hanging on till the end. That's not scripture. You know the people that really are miserable? The people that are putting up the front. The people that are doing their own thing, they're disobeying God. And by the way, they will experience the consequences. Serving God is joyful. It's not drudgery. Well, I got to get up and go to church today. Man, if you feel like that, I feel for you. You don't have to be like that. You ought to say, get to go to church this morning. Now, again, when the alarm clock first goes off, that doesn't count. Okay? The alarm clock goes off in the morning, it's like, I don't want to hit the snooze button. I want to hit the forever dead button. But once you get up and once you have some coffee in you, you ought to say, I felt something there, right? Coffee. So I don't drink coffee. Listen, we'll have an invitation at the end of the service. Come down. We'll help you out there. But you ought to say, wow, I get to go to church today. It's a blessing. Well, you're here, John, already. Thanks. Psalm 100, verse 2. Serve the Lord with, come before His presence with. God doesn't want you to whine. How's everything going? Well, brother, I'm just holding on till Jesus comes. Well, man, you might as well take that rope and wrap it around your neck and go to Jesus right now. Okay, isn't that holding on? Man, I don't want to live like that. You know what I'm saying? It's not, you know, we're not monks. Okay? It reminds me of a story. There was a monk that he went to a monastery, and they had a rule at the monastery. The rule was you could only say two words every 5 years. That's it. So the guy goes, I'll do it. So he goes to the monastery, doesn't do anything. At the end of 5 years, he comes in. The monk says, okay, you get two words. What are you going to say? He goes, hard bed. The monk says, that's fine. See you later. He goes his way. 5 years later, he comes back. He says, what do you got to say now? He says, bad food. 5 years later, his 15th year, he comes in. And he goes, all right, you get two more words. What are your words? And the guy goes, I quit. And the guy goes, that doesn't shock me. You've done nothing but complain since you got here. Okay? That's how some people are. We complain about everything. And then Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. By the way, you know what's weird about that? That's a command. You know? You ever, it's a command to be joyful. Hey, be joyful. Well, why is he commanding us to be joyful? Because if we're serving God the right way, we will be joyful. Okay? It's, by the way, and Paul didn't have the best circumstances. He didn't. He had bad circumstances. When we looked at Paul's life last Sunday morning, we saw that, you know, when God gave him a purpose, he already included in his purpose that he was going to suffer a lot. And he did. But Paul, even in the midst of suffering, could say, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. If we're not careful, most of us will end up like Martha. Turn over to Luke chapter 10, please. Luke chapter 10. And we'll look at this story and then we'll give you a few points. Luke chapter 10, and we'll look at verse number 38. This is a story of Mary and Martha. Jesus comes to their house. By the way, Jesus coming to their house should have been a joyful thing. Man, it ought to be like, hey, the Savior's here. This is going to be good. Jesus is in our house. Well, let's see. Now, it came to pass as they went, he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman, it's Luke 10:38, named Martha, received him into her house. She said, come on in. And she had a sister named called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. So Jesus comes into the house. Mary sits at Jesus' feet. He's sharing God's word with her. Verse 40, but Martha was cumbered about with much serving. She was starting to get stressed because of all that she was doing. She had so much going on. And she came to him, Jesus, and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. You know, it's like when you have your kids do something. Well, isn't so-and-so going to help me? Aren't kids like that? Martha comes to Jesus and says, hey, I'm doing everything by myself. Doesn't that bother you? Tell her to help. Now, what did Jesus say? Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, 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 thou art careful and troubled about many things, worried. But one thing is needful. Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. He said, sister, I'm translating, sister, you're all stressed out about serving. You're missing it. And your sister caught it. She's choosing the right thing. The right thing is what? That she forgot that Jesus was there. She was worried about this food and that food and this thing that had to be taken care of and that thing to be taken care of. And she missed that. Jesus came to visit them. He wanted her to spend time with him. We get like that, don't we? We're so cumbered about in the things that we're doing that we miss it. Martha, now Martha was a good lady. She was willing to open her house, but yet in its essence, her heart was closed to the Savior. She was serving him, but she wouldn't sit with him. And then she nitpicked at others instead of focusing on Christ. Why? Because she missed the needful thing. Mary got it right. She's sitting, she's hearing, and she's learning. Now, as we go back to the verses we read at the beginning in Matthew, Jesus gave us a formula to help us avoid spiritual burnout, okay? If you burn out, it is not somebody else's fault. If you burn out, it is not the church's fault. Well, you know, the church, they slave drive you. They have us so busy. Listen, if you're too busy, you're too busy. Don't blame the church. Come talk to somebody and cut back a little bit. But in most cases, that's not the issue. The issue is what we're going to talk about right here. What is Jesus' formula he gives us to help us to avoid spiritual burnout? The first thing is this: come to him. I know that's complicated. Come to him. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. I'll just be honest with you. We'll talk about a few things here, but really, that's the issue. You're not coming to him. That's where it starts. So, I'm burned out. You're not coming to him. I mentioned in my Sunday school class, I had a girl on my bus route. I was a bus captain. I was in college. She worked on my bus route. She went home for the summer. One of the first services right before school started, I saw her in the service, and I went up to her and said, hey, how you doing? Glad to have you back, man. Excited to get you back on the bus route. And she said, not coming back. I'm like, wow, that usually didn't happen. I said, well, what's wrong? Did I do something wrong, or what's going on? She goes, no. Love the bus route. Loved everything. She goes, you know what? It's my fault, but last year, I allowed everything I was doing for the Lord to keep me from his word. And I told myself, when I come back to college, I'm not going to get back until I get back in his word. Now, I'll be honest with you. As a young ministerial student, I'm like, she's backslid. What is wrong with her? That's a lame excuse. And as I thought about it, I thought, she did right. That's the right thing to do. She was missing the whole point. If she doesn't have the relationship with God, getting on the bus route's not going to do anything. She had to get that first. Come to him. When we don't come to him, that's where we start to burn out. He tells those who are laboring to come to him. By the way, we should be laboring for him. Now, you can flip it the other way if you want to. Some people use it as an excuse. Can't serve God. Why? Got to spend time with him. Seriously? Let me explain this. You can't take a shift in the nursery? Really? I can't come on Tuesday nights. I'm too busy. Now, some people, maybe you are, if you're working 12 hours a day or whatever. But listen, we're not throwing that at you all the time. You ought to be able to come on Tuesday nights. The reason you burn out isn't because you're doing too much stuff. Now, there may be a few that do too much stuff. We could help you with that. The reason you burn out is because you're not coming to Christ. And when you don't come to Christ, even the little that you do seems like too much. You ever notice that? You know who complains the most? Those that do the least. I could get really pushy here, but I'll be kind tonight. I'll say it because you look like those that complain the least, I guarantee you give the least. And by the way, let me say this. We're not against if you have a legitimate complaint. Sometimes, can I tell you something? There's a lot going on in church. Sometimes we don't see everything. If you see one of our bus drivers going 90 miles an hour, if you come and tell me about it, that doesn't mean you don't give. Okay? You understand what I'm saying? I'm just saying, sometimes if we get a complaining spirit, it seems like those that do the least have a tendency to complain the most. But let's make sure we're spending time with Jesus, getting back on the thing. Let's not use that as an excuse, but let's make sure that balance is there. See, everything's a balance. Our time serving Christ, and we balance it out with our time spent with Christ. By the way, what was the good part? The time? If you're going to go overboard in an area, go overboard in the area of coming to him. Okay? You cannot spend too much time with Jesus. If we want our service, if we want to serve him, we have to come to him. That is where we get the strength we need to serve him in the first place. Okay? Say, man, I'm feeling weak and I'm doing these things on my bus route. I'm just getting burned out on it. Well, are you spending time with him? Because as you spend time with him, you get that spiritual energy you need to go out and give to others. You see, if we have nothing inside of ourselves, we have nothing to give to others. We're running on empty. Think of it this way. You see the old oil lamps, and you get the little oil lamps. We used to use them on old-fashioned nights, but it's probably a little bit dangerous, okay, having all that fire in here and no lights on. But you have the oil lamp, and you put the wick in there, and you light the wick. How come the wick doesn't burn out? Because the wick's not burning, it's the oil in the lamp on the wick that is burning. That keeps the wick from burning out. But you know what happens? Let that run out of oil. And once you run out of oil and there's no more oil to burn, what burns up? The wick. The wick won't burn up as long as it has oil. We don't have any oil because we're not spending time with God, and that's why we're getting discouraged. That's why we're getting frustrated with serving God, because we don't spend any time with Him. We're doing it on our own, and we're burning out the wick. Very important that we spend time with Him. That's why it's like, well, it's better to burn out than it is to rust. You don't have to do either. If you have enough oil, you won't rust. Come on. What is it? The Wizard of Oz? Every time the Tin Man started to squeak, oil that guy. Click, 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 click. Hey, now I can move my arm. Okay? Most of you are running out of oil. That's the issue. The issue is you're trying to drive a car without gas, and you're going nowhere. And we don't spend time with Him. It's those who are laboring. It's also those who are burdened. Sometimes we have our burdens, and we try to serve, and we try to go on with our burdens without getting help from God. You know what happens when you try to carry that burden by yourself? It seems too heavy. You know why? Because it is. Now, the Bible does command those of us who are Christians to help our brothers bear their burden. Galatians 6:2 says, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." By the way, that's why church is important. Church is a place where you have Christian brothers and sisters who are here. They'll pray for you. They'll encourage you. They'll help you. And they can help you bear that burden. But ultimately, you need to take that burden to Christ. And you don't have to carry it yourself. 1 Peter 5:7 says, "Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you." You say, no one understands these problems that I have. No one understands the burden that I bear. I know one who does. Oh, that just sounds too simplistic. I'm going to tell you why it does. Because it is. You say, but you don't know what's going on. You can't possibly care for my brother. I can't. But he can. Now, by the way, if you have a burden and we're your brothers and sisters in Christ, we'll do whatever we can to help you. And maybe God will direct someone to you to help you. But bring your burden to Him. Don't carry that alone. So we have to come to Him. Next, He tells us we have to work with Him. Say, wow, these are pretty simple. I know. God knows we're not very bright. They have to be easy. He says, "Take my yoke upon you." What is a yoke? A yoke was a device they would put on the animal to bear the burden. And usually it paired two of the animals together so that they could work together, and whether it was plowing a field or whatever work they were doing. Christ tells us to take His yoke upon us. We are working with Him. And then He tells us in verse number 30, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." See, the reason if you're serving God and you're starting to feel like it's a burden, because maybe you're doing the work alone. You see, what's going on here, it's not our work. We mentioned that over and over. He said, oh, you're just saying that. That's a good phrase. No, it's real. Has nothing to do with us. God uses us, but ultimately it's His work. And we're not here to work on our own and do our own thing and try to figure it out. We're here to work with Him and go forward in His power and do something great for God. We don't have to do it our own. It's like, and Pastor used to use illustration all the time, and I don't have the numbers in front of me, but it's like the Clydesdale, the horses. If you give that horse, and the Clydesdale are some of the biggest horses, alone they can pull, I don't know what the number is, we'll throw out a number. Alone they can maybe pull 2,000 pounds. But you yoke two of them together, you would think, okay, one can pull 2,000. You put two of them together, they can pull. They'll pull about 7,000. They'll pull more together than both of them could separately. Why? Because working together, you accomplish more. If you think that works, work with the Lord. Turn to Matthew chapter 28. These are easy verses for us to understand, but I want you to understand that the chore and the purpose that we talk about often is not a purpose he's given us to fulfill on our own. He asks us to do something, but he's with us. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 to 20. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. He's given us a command here. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. That's our purpose. Go, get people saved, teach them the word, get them out soul winning, and do it everywhere in the world. But, notice the end. And lo, I am with you always. He says, hey, while you're doing this, I'm going to do it with you. And then even before he told us to do it, he said, all power is given unto me. Before he gave us the command, he said, listen, I have all power. Here's what I want you to do, and I will be with you as you do it. Not doing it alone. By the way, some of you that are new and maybe like, oh, we're going to talk a little about summer saturation over the next few weeks. You're going to say, sharing the gospel, that's a scary thing because it's not something you do. You know, I don't save anybody. You know what you do? You're obedient to God, and you go out and you share the gospel, and if they get saved, it's because God's Spirit has convicted their heart. God's Spirit has used his word. It's not you. You were just obedient, and you were working with him, and he fulfilled his purpose. We're not working alone. When we try to work alone, it just doesn't work. Look at Acts 1:8 again. It's the same thing, different angle. Acts 1:8, we know this verse. A couple books ahead of you. He tells the disciples there right before he leaves. He says, but ye shall receive power. Hey, we're going to get power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me. There's what we're supposed to do. Both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria, othermost parts of the earth. We could quote that verse backwards. But before he tells us we're going to be witnesses everywhere, he says you're going to get the power to be able to do it. We don't work alone. Whenever you're trying to do something by yourself, it's always harder. Whenever you have someone to help you, it's always a lot better. The more you have helping, the better it is. Well, we have someone helping us who has all power. And everything he tells us to do, the fact that he tells us to do it means that we can do it. Someone has said God's commandments are God's enablements. In other words, the fact that God tells us to do something means he will enable us to be able to do it. Why? He does it with us. We're not serving him on our own. That's why. He says that it's an easy yoke. It's not burden. Okay? It's not like when we were out there digging those holes in the early days of the building. That was ridiculous. That dirt was like concrete. Would have helped if we had the right tools. Okay? And, you know, it was nice when you had the jackhammer. But that was hard dirt. Now, when we use Poncho, remember Poncho? We all like when Poncho came because he drove the Bobcat or whatever it was, and he would knock it out. But, you know, look, that's when we're serving God, it's not burdensome. It may be hard, but you don't feel like it's hard because you're not doing it yourself. So we're supposed to come to him. We're supposed to work with him. Number three, we're supposed to learn of him. He says, and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart. Like Mary, when Jesus said one thing is needful, Mary hath chosen the good part, we have to choose the good part. How can we serve someone that we don't even understand? Most people know nothing about Jesus Christ. But when we spend time with him, we understand his heart. We understand his power. When we're sharing the gospel with the world, we're sharing the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, if we're sharing him, we might want to really know who he is. It's not just serving. Choose between there, okay? You know, my wife's a good lady. If I need something, she would get it for me. I remember years ago, I was working in the warehouse. It was five of us on the crew. It was a midnight crew, so we were sitting in the break room, and these guys were debating. They were bashing their wives. That's what they were doing. They were going to play in a basketball league, and I put together a team with my guys from work, and I was going to bring them in. thought we'd try to reach them. They were talking about basketball shoes. One guy's like, man, I'm going to get some basketball shoes. My old lady's going to fight me. I'm going to have to just get. The other guy's like, oh, man, last time I bought shoes, my wife, she hammered me. And they're arguing about their wives are going to gripe with them for buying tennis shoes. I stayed out of that. I was eating lunch. And then they said, hey, Myers, what about you? If you needed shoes, what would your wife do? And I said, you really want to know? And they go, yeah. I said, if my wife found out I needed a pair of shoes, she would go buy me a pair. That sounded radical to them. I thought it was just normal. I'm like, I don't get this. Now, I wouldn't send her because she has a tendency to buy the most expensive, all right? She'll get me the pink ones with little silicones on them or something. Okay? But I'm like, what's the big deal? Now, my wife will do a lot of things for me, but what would I rather have, her doing things for me or her spending time with me? I'd rather have her doing things for me way, way far away. Just kidding. Like, sister, I'm glad you're doing things for me, but I would rather spend time with you. Okay? Isn't that what we would like in a relationship? Isn't that what Jesus wants? I don't have time to spend time with you, Jesus. I don't know anything about you because I'm too busy over here serving you. He says, hey, Mary chose the good part. She's sitting at the feet. We might want to know who we're serving. Okay? We might want to know more about Christ. The reason that's important is because if we're not careful and we really don't understand Christ, we kind of give a false view about him. Some people get burned out. They think, oh, God's a slave driver. Oh, he's hammering us. No, he's not. The reason you think that is because you really don't know him. Remember, his commands are not grievous. Think, ah, you know, that song. Brother Treber, I think it's Brother Treber loves this song. I remember Brother Hiles didn't like this song. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. To be honest with you, that's a little whiny. It will be worth it. You know, it's like, I'm depressed. Everything's horrible. But when I see Jesus, hey, it'll be better. No, I want it better now. I want it to be worth it all now. That doesn't mean sometimes things are difficult. You know what I'm saying? I'm just saying, we have a tendency, sometimes preachers, we're good at making everything seem difficult. You know, forgive us if we do that. No, some things are difficult, but sometimes we make it work. Look, serving Jesus is great if we know who he is. We might want to learn who he is. Our service starts from what we know about him. The more that we know about him, the more wonderful we understand he is, the more likely we are to share him with others. So we have to learn of him. He talks about his meekness and his humility. And then the last thing is this. We must receive from him. What does he say? And ye shall find rest unto your souls. Rest. What does that mean? I'm not doing everything on my own. This isn't my work. This is God's work. He's allowed me to co-labor with him. He's allowed me to yoke up with him to serve him and serve others. That's a wonderful thing. It is, the more we know of him, the more he is our, in essence, I don't mean to drop him down to our level. You know, he's my best friend. Okay, that's fine. The more I'm closer to him, the more I know of him, the closer we are, the better it is when we serve together. And he helps us to get through it. There's no reason for us to burn out. How's your devotions going this year? Are you spending time? We really pushed on that. We try to get you to not just, it's not, look, that's not something you even measure at church. Okay? How much time are you in God's word daily? If not, you are a candidate for burnout. You're a candidate to get to just to church and they're pushing to this and that and the other. Look, when we were given to that offering, it's like, oh, the church is trying to get our money again. Yes. No, we're not. We wanted you to co-labor with God to see what he would provide through you. See, those of you that didn't catch that, you probably weren't able to give much. You were seeing it as, they're trying to take what's mine. Now, God may tap and say, hey, I want you to sacrifice. But you know, God always takes care of us. By the way, sometimes we get this misnomer. Well, you know, I would give if I had more. Givers are people who give if they have more. Givers are people that gave when they had less. God has now given them the capacity to give more. Why? because they've tapped into something there. I'm going to give to God, and God will give through me. And you know what? God will. Just as God will work through you. Just as God will help you, that through you will help you to share the gospel with others. But are you spending time with him in the day? We have to be real careful because we live in a different day and time. Life is lived at a frantic pace. It is. Just is. You don't believe me? Go on vacation with us. Well, I don't want you to be real honest with you, but, you know, I'm going to Cowtown. I mean, you know, the biggest news up there is Martha Jean had twins. So now instead of 5,000 people in the city, there's 5,002. Okay? There's more people that live in my neighborhood than live in that city. You know? You have to drive on an empty road in the middle of farms. Then you got to get off on a dirt road and drive a mile to get to my in-law's house. There's not much happening there. Here, and I feel when you, and it's like it's okay for a while. I'd go nuts if I was there for more than a week or so. But we get back here, and as soon as we get back here, I feel the pace. Everything's different. If you're not careful, that gets you. Think about it. Back in the day, when we were teenagers, some of us were teenagers growing up, if we wanted to know what was going on in the news, we had to actually read a newspaper. Our phone didn't tweet it to us, okay? We had to read a newspaper. I remember as a kid, we would run half a block down to the store and get the daily newspaper. We lived back in the day when television was like 10 channels. I remember that. And you had to have these antennas, and you had to put foil on them just to get 7 of the channels to be watchable. Okay, I remember my uncle. He got cable. He was one of the first people to get cable television. My Aunt Judy, my Uncle Jim. It had one channel. Cable television was one channel. On subscription, that was it. It had the Laker game on there, so I'd go watch it over at his house. When you wanted to play a video game, you had to get on your bike or walk down to the pizza place, and the video game was a pinball machine. Okay? Now I can, if I want, I can pull my phone out and I can play a video game. Okay? Galactic Space Chickens or something of that nature. When you wanted to talk to people, here's the kicker. You had to go inside of your house and use a phone connected to the wall by a wire. And the handheld thing wasn't even wireless. You had to dial. Remember those? Pathetic. Okay. Things are different now. We have more stuff that I talked about. I could watch more things on my phone than I could ever have watched on the television back when I was a kid. And by the way, the picture was black and white. Okay, there was no color whatsoever. And when it was windy outside, it snowed on the television screen. I can call anybody I want. I've called Kumali on this thing. I don't really want to talk to him, but I called him on this thing. Stuff is at us all the time. Information is flying everywhere. We're overloaded. Man, I wonder if you didn't want to be bothered, all you didn't have to do is just go outside from your house. No one could get a hold of you. Now you're tethered down. They call you. They text you. They email you. I get frustrated. I'm trying to call one of the girls at home, and I have it all the time. Call my wife. No answer. Like, great. So I call the home phone. No answer. Okay, great. I call Jessica. No answer. I call Hannah. No answer. I'll call my daughter-in-law. She usually answers, but she's not at my house, so it's worthless anyhow. It's like no one wants to answer the phone. It's like, great. And that's like 2 minutes, and I'm impatient. That's the kind of society we're living in. If we're not careful, what happens is this. We bring it into the church and our service for God. And we start to feel overloaded. That's not how God wants us to serve him. And if we're doing that, it's not his fault. Maybe it could be we've stepped away from him. We're not spending time with him. We're not learning with him. We're not working with him. And so we're not receiving that rest that he has for us. There are people who have left church. It's like, oh, the church did this and that. It had nothing to do with the church. They cut off their relationship with God. They started doing everything on their own. And they were like that lamp with no oil. Eventually, the wick started to burn out. Let's not be like that. Amen. Let's take Jesus up on his offer so we have the energy to do the things that God wants us to do without ruining the rest of our life, without it affecting our family, and we'll be more effective. Let's all stand together.